Money in the Bank.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
I'm Sonny Morello.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar, The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Coming down the aisle will be the former champion, and you'll hear his music.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Where is your savior?
Surprise, surprise. He ain't here for you, but you know who is? I am. I am here for you just like I have been every day since I have been around.
With your host.
Yeah, kitty. Yeah, kitty.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
All you have to do is believe.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
WildTalkRadio.com. That's right. After a two-week hiatus where I was almost dead, mostly dead due to sickness, we are back. And we have a lot tonight.
We're live?
We are totally live.
Wow, we're live. Oh my
wow.
God. Oh my God. Oh my God. That's so amazing.
I don't know what to do. I might be out of practice. In case you don't know who we are, I am the host, Lindsay Warren. Joining me, as always, is my ever faithful co-host slash producer slash handyman, Sir Rockin. And like I said, we got a lot.
We do have a lot to talk about. Apparently, one of the people on this network has become famous.
Who?
Tim.
Go, Tim!
Apparently, one of his tweets made it to the scoreboard at the Saddle Dome.
Hi!
I'm asking, trying to figure out what the tweet was, but he's not responding, so. Anyway.
Tim, we're on the air. We need to know so we can pimp your stuff.
You can follow him at Flames Forums with an S.
Yes. But yeah, like we said, we have a lot. We have 2 weeks worth of stuff because, yes, like I said, I was dead last week. I couldn't talk. So we were not able to talk about anything concerning WrestleMania, anything concerning about wrestling in general because, you know, no voice.
But hey, we're here tonight, and tonight we're talking WrestleMania.
We are talking WrestleMania, we are talking AJ Lee, we are talking network stuff, we are talking SmackDown moving, we are talking so much news. It's a two-segment news portion, I'm so sorry in advance, and this is the edited news. We had like 18 stories that we had to cut down.
Right.
To 13. We cut 5 stories.
Which you all
we love you guys.
Because we love you guys and you'll hear them all next week. We're not going to just ignore them.
Yeah.
We're already planning for next week. That's how far ahead we are.
Yeah. And yeah, just like I said, there's a lot. Stick with us because this is going to be a long, long show.
Right.
I'm so sorry in advance. But it's going to be a super duper long show. So I don't want to hold up anybody any longer.
It's like back in the old days. It's a throwback Thursday.
It is a throwback Thursday. We're doing a 3-hour show, y'all. Let's dig in.
Right? We're going to do it. We're going to just knock it out of the park like we did in the old days. Back like it was when it was popular in 2013, 14.
Right. Because we were ever popular.
We're award winning. Bam.
We are award winning.
Bam.
But that doesn't mean popular, dude.
Have you seen the numbers?
We're not going to brag about the numbers. It's not December. We can't brag about the numbers.
Hey, if Omega can do Christmas in April, we could brag in April? I don't know. Anyway, no.
We'll brag to ourselves. We're good at that.
The Barry Horowitz pat on the back.
Yeah, Barry Horowitz pat on the back. But anyway, we're going to jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com. Go there for all your wrestling news needs. And we're going to start with one of the biggest stories that broke in the last 2 weeks, which is that SmackDown is moving. It is leaving Sci-Fi, and it is shifting over to the USA Network as of 2016. One-stop shop wrestling! Yes!
Right?
That makes me so happy.
That's actually kind of pretty cool. They're moving it. It's moving up in the world.
It's kind of going back to the old days. Like, you remember when it was on, like, Raw was on, because when I started watching, Raw was on TNN.
Spike.
And then SmackDown
was on UPN.
That's right, it was on UPN. Because wasn't SmackDown at one time on USA?
No.
Never?
It started on UPN / which then became CW.
Yeah.
Then it went to My Network.
Yeah.
Then to Sci-Fi.
Okay. Well, it was never on USA, my bad, but now it's going to be on USA, which I've been saying they need to do for years. Just put it all on one network. Hopefully it stays on Thursdays.
With this whole big campaign, you know, that they did earlier this year, where they, you know, relentlessly told us about the move to a certain day and time.
And we got to talk to Seth Rollins about it.
We did. We really did. You know, they always told us
Thursday.
And they kept saying
Thursday.
And?
Thursday.
So I'm thinking they're going to keep it on a
Thursday.
And there's your Bray Wyatt.
Because it's a
Thursday.
Yes. So, and the move, I believe, happens in January, or at least quarter one.
The first quarter of 2016, it's going to be moving to the USA Network. The quote is, WWE is such an iconic American brand, it feels the right to have their two biggest properties on USA Network. Having more live programming is a good thing for this network. Having SmackDown and doubling down on WWE is important to us. Partnering with the NBC Sports Group to bring Stanley Cup hockey to USA is an important move for us. You'll likely see over the next year more announcements about live sports on USA. That's from Chris McCumber, USA Network president.
And speaking of content that is coming, and this is not coming to USA, I believe, but this is going on network, Tough Enough is going to make its return.
No, that's USA.
Is that USA?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I forgot to write down USA. So in addition to SmackDown, we're getting Tough Enough. It's going back on USA. It debuts on Tuesday, June 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern.
I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to Tough Enough debuting. Oh, coming back and debuting again. Returning. I guess returning is a better word than debuts, but new season debuts, that's the best way to put it, on June 23rd at 8 p.m. Eastern. It's supposedly going to be taped more current than in previous season.
Yeah, they're going to tape it supposedly as it's going on and air it right after they tape. There's supposed to be some kind of live fan interaction.
That's the rumor going around, some sort of live fan interaction. I like that idea.
I do like that idea, that the fans get some input and we get to vote and that kind of thing. Should note, Steve Austin is not attached to the product or the project, so he will not be on it.
Yeah, which is disappointing because he was one of the draws from the last season. Because him just tearing into the contestants was pretty kind of epic.
Dude, they need to get Taker.
See, that's where I was going to leave this discussion next. Who should be the host of Tough Enough?
Get Taker to do it. Because you need someone that can be like your head trainer or whatever on the show, your head trainer / host. And Taker could impart so much knowledge, at the very least, have him appear on the show.
I would love to have him appear on the show.
Because just think of what he could teach people.
Right. Because he has this wealth of knowledge just for being in the business for almost over 3 decades at this point.
Yeah.
Over 3 decades at this point. God, he's old.
And, you know, it doesn't hurt that he's a mentor at NXT.
No, it doesn't. No, it really doesn't.
Now, so
you mentioned The Undertaker, which is a really cool choice. Since, you know, Brock Lesnar's not doing anything right now, why don't you use Paul Heyman as the host?
I'm down for that.
Think about it.
He can bring his giant Brock Lesnar supercard.
But just think about him ripping into the contestants. I think that's the added entertainment value.
I don't think he would rip into the contestants, but I think you could learn a lot from Paul, especially in terms of being able to cut a promo and how to carry yourself and really character development, because there is nobody better than Paul Heyman at that.
Oh, I know. I'm talking about more in the elimination process where, you know, you pick all the contestants. He would be, like, the perfect host for that type of thing. Because the rumor going around, it's unconfirmed rumors, and this is not even a legit, you know, he's not attached to the project, but he's just unconfirmed. Chris Jericho could be part of this Tough Enough.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the right guy for this. if that makes sense. I don't know if his laid back style, as we saw on the podcast on WWE Network, would tie into a Tough Enough.
It all depends on who they get to back Jericho. Like, you can have Jericho be a host, because if I remember right, Austin wasn't involved. It was more Trish Stratus and Bill DeMott and Booker T
right.
that were involved. So I wouldn't have a problem with Jericho, provided they back him up with strong personalities. But if you don't back him up with those strong personalities, then it's not going to work.
This is very true, and I was trying to think of, okay, so who would these trainers be? We know it's not going to be Bill DeMott because he got cut a few weeks back. I thought about William Regal as a guy who would possibly translate well into the show.
Regal would be amazing.
I think he could deliver a nice sort of balance to the show. He has the experience and toughness, and he could train these guys up, right? You know, the unknown, because he's not full time, but he works there a lot. Is Adam Pearce as a trainer, not as the focus of the show, just as the pure trainer? He could be all right.
I actually wouldn't mind seeing Pearce as a trainer,
because he would play the Booker T role, not like heavily involved, but he's involved.
He's not heavily involved, but he's involved. But he could impart. You know, again, that wealth of knowledge that he has to people.
Right, and when it comes to the women, because there are probably going to be men and women involved, and I don't know if you can, maybe bringing Trish back would be cool. I don't know if she's up for it.
Sarah Del Rey.
I thought about Sarah Del Rey, but it's one of those things, would that take away from what she's doing in the Performance Center with the girls right now?
I don't think so, honestly.
Because the other name that popped in my head, and she sort of has a relationship with WWE now, Lita?
Yeah.
I mean, she could fit into that role.
She could fit into that role, and she's definitely perfect for it. I don't know.
She adds more of that name value to it than a Sarah Del Rey would at this point to the WWE audience. From a strictly trainer standpoint, Sarah Del Rey is the better choice. But from a name standpoint, Lita or Trish would be the better person. Hell, I would go with Ivory and, you know, see if she wants to do it, or Molly Holly, you know.
Oh, Ivory or Molly Holly would be awesome.
Someone of that ilk, maybe get them back into the company somehow and work on this project. I don't know, it's just throwing around names. We don't know who's involved, or it's supposedly going to be filmed here in the next month or so, right around the start date in June. I guess more details will come as we go. They have a whole brand new logo. I like the new logo. It's better than the one they had last time.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I like the new logo.
Because the last time with the whole T and E, it was too... It just didn't screen Tough Enough.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Even though the original Tough Enough logo really didn't screen Tough Enough either, but this one has a nice feel to it. I like it.
This one's better.
This one's a lot better. Well done, WWE Department of Graphics and Design, I guess. Department? I don't know. Anyway, I'm looking forward to Tough Enough debuting. We'll probably talk, when the show's air, we'll probably talk some of it on the show.
Oh, I'm sure we will. Coming to the Rack Extra near you.
Possibly. We'll have a lot to talk about. Stuff happens around that time.
Yeah. Total Divas comes back.
Yeah. We have a lot to coming your way.
Content. Yay.
We're planning ahead. Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. And we have no transition for this, but WWE doesn't seem to have to plan much ahead, there we go, in terms of the network subscribers, because it was announced a couple weeks ago that WWE Network's subscribers has reached 1.315 million, which is a solid number for them. It's a little lower than what everybody was expecting. I think people wanted to see it about 1.4 or 1.5.
Yeah, I would assume they would, but I think the 1.3 was the bottom number, like... That's a nice number for them, because for the month of February they had 917 or something like that. Like, they hit a million, and you know, but a million's the number, but there's like 917 current or something. I don't know. It's weird how they break it all down. But they've been retained when they did the free month in February. They retained 75% of them who tried the free month.
And that's important.
That's a pretty good, that's how they want it, because it's something where they want people to continue to have the network and go with the mindset, I got it once, for free, I like it, I may not watch it every day, but it's there.
You know, here's the thing, here's my justification for it, and you can justify it any way you want. I pay $10 a month to watch pay-per-views. I don't watch it every day, but it's nice to have, because when I'm at lunch and I want to watch wrestling, I can watch wrestling. If I'm bored, I can watch wrestling. But most of all, it's like I get every WWE pay-per-view for $10 a month. Compare that to the $50 or $60 it costs on pay-per-view. That alone, the network pays for itself in 6 months.
It really, really does. And that's been the best feature of it. Like, I like to have it on in the background. It's just noise.
Yes.
Like, I watch the older pay-per-views because they're just, it's just noise. Just to have something going or on the computer, just something to keep your mind going when you're doing stuff. And that's the great part about it. And it runs very, very well. They add new stuff, and next week on the show, we're going to dive deeper into the new content on the WWE Network that's coming in the coming months. I like the network.
Yes, we are.
See, we're promoting next week ahead. See, we have a plan.
We do have a plan.
But it's great for its value. Because think about this, Lindsay. Coming up on May 2nd, it's the big boxing match. Mayweather versus Pacquiao. You've heard of that, right?
Sure.
It's going to be the big talked about pay-per-view. It's going to be $100.
I can think of a lot better things to spend $100 on.
That's 10 months of the WWE Network.
And we're not sitting here trying to sell you on it.
No, we're not. But it's like the justification in your mind is like, I get why people, and to their credit, between Fastlane and the Rumble, they did 168,000 buys between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So people still buy it on pay-per-view, which is just added additional income from them, and that should make people very happy. But it's like, the idea of the network is great because it gets more, because you were getting 200,000 people on average to watch at a normal pay-per-view. Now you're probably getting triple that or
yep.
quadruple that. With 1.3, you know, not everyone's probably watching the pay-per-view live, but you're getting more eyeballs on your product at this cheaper cost. You may be taking a financial hit early, but this is not a 1-year thing. This is not a 2-year thing. It's not a 10-year thing. This is a 30-year project.
Yeah, they're basically redoing their business plan to where they get their main income on, and eventually they're going to completely step away from the pay-per-view model and go strictly on the network.
Because if you look at it, HBO, what they announced this week, they're now finally, they cut the cord. You don't need cable to watch HBO.
Nope.
It's becoming that model. WWE was a year ahead of everyone else.
It's becoming a thing where the writing is on the wall for a lot of traditional TV providers, for stations, for networks, whatever, where we're moving away from the traditional everybody sits in front of the TV to having content on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, being able to stream it and watch it from anywhere. And there are devices like Roku and several other boxes, Google Cast, I think, Apple TV.
It's Chromecast.
Chromecast, thank you. Google Cast, you know, same thing.
same company, but you know, anyway.
Yeah, same thing. The Sling Box is a little bit different, but Sling actually has a box that's coming out similar to that.
Right, that's what I'm talking about, which they believe they've capped it at 2 million subscribers. I think they're capping that at 2 million subscribers so other networks don't get pissy.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're here. Technology talk.
Yeah, but basically the model is moving away from traditional TV watching, and it's being able to watch content on demand, being able to watch it from wherever, whenever you want, and that's going to hurt the cable companies, and a lot of networks are starting to see that, because especially with the younger generation, it's, well, I don't want to DVR it. I don't want to have to watch it at home. I want to be able to watch it anywhere. WWE picked up on that. They got ahead of the trend, and now everybody's following that trend.
Which, to their credit, they always try to be ahead of the trend, even though people give them backlash. Everyone's watching them.
Mm-hmm.
Whether they've been watching this from the beginning.
Let me put it like this. My dad works for a cable company. I'm not going to say which one, but he works for a cable company. The day the network launched, he asked me about it. It made that big of a news that my dad was asking me about it, what it did, what it showed, all of that kind of stuff.
Right. Now, here's the thing. We're talking about, you know, the satellite companies and the cable companies and, you know, all that and how the success of the network. One of the things that happened to the network in its right away, right after WrestleMania 30 last year, DirecTV and Dish Network, they cut WWE out.
Yes, they did.
Well, here's the story. Apparently DirecTV, they went back in.
Yes, they do.
DirecTV is in talks with WWE about once again carrying their pay-per-views on a semi-consistent basis now, just because I think they're missing that, even though it probably won't be as positive in a financial sense for them, it's still extra income. Because WWE is still not going to generate as much for the pay-per-view industry anymore, but they're still going to do it. They're not, it's not like boxing or UFC, but still, there's a large demand, especially for restaurants and bars.
Yes.
That use satellite. And DirecTV was one of the big providers for that. And when they cut it, like, a lot of restaurants were like, huh, now we're losing out.
Yeah. And plus DirecTV kind of needs the money. But.
Because, you know, they gotta pay Rob Lowe. No.
Yeah, they do have to pay Rob Lowe. Well, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Because he has got yanked. But, yeah, no, it's something that the network subscribership will continue to grow, especially as they launch it worldwide. They're getting ready to go into India and a few other countries next.
Germany, China, to name a few.
Yeah, so you're going to see the network numbers fluctuate. You're going to see them increase. You're going to see them decrease. But WWE is a year into the network, and they are almost buoyant with it in terms of it making money.
They're getting there. They're getting there.
And that's something to be proud of.
Right. And if you want to see things succeed, keep subscribing to the network. It's not that expensive. In the grand scheme of life, it's what, $2.50 a week?
Yeah. Something like that. It's $10 a month. I mean, it's completely reasonable.
It is. And it's like Netflix. You have it. You may not watch it all the time, but it's there for when you need it.
Yes.
That's my sales pitch for the network, even though they're not paying me to sell it. But that's my sales pitch. It's convenient.
But we know they're listening, so you could totally pay us. Wink, 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 wink.
Well, you know, just email media@wildtalkradio.com.
Yep. We accept donations.
There's a button on Rock Radio Show. Donate. Anyway.
Anyway, I don't have a transition for this. It's awkward, but we're going to kind of talk a little bit about WrestleMania. Speaking of the network, there we go. It was announced at Levi's Stadium that they, of course, broke the attendance record with a record 76,976 fans from all 50 states and 40 countries converged on the home of the San Francisco 49ers. The previous attendance record was $70,799.
Dollars? People?
People. Sorry. People. I was reading ahead in the story, sorry. 70,799 people. I screwed up the show. Take a shot.
Bam.
It also became the highest grossing live event in WWE history. It pulled in a record 12.6 million, broke the previous record of 12.3 million that was held by WrestleMania 29 at MetLife Stadium in 2013. So well done to WWE.
Right.
On WrestleMania 31, it was a triumph for them.
Yeah, it was. And the crowd, from what we've been gathering, the crowd at WrestleMania 31 was pretty loud.
The crowd was, from what I've heard, super into it pretty much the whole night. They weren't so much into a few matches. They were booing Roman pretty much the entire time. But yeah, they were loud, they were rowdy, and they were having a good time.
And apparently The Rock got one of the biggest pops of the night.
Yeah, I think The Rock actually got the biggest pop of the night.
Just want to throw that out there, so just in case we do listen to you. I don't know. Speaking of WrestleMania really quick.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 32 is going to be announced. Apparently WrestleMania 33 is rumored to be in Minnesota.
Why? Who the hell wants to go to Minnesota in April? No offense, Minnesota.
It snowed today in Minnesota.
Exactly! Why? Why would you go there this early? You go to Minnesota for like SummerSlam. It'll be thawed by then.
And even then, who wants to go to Minnesota for SummerSlam? Even though I think they did that once.
Actually, it would be kind of nice in summer. It doesn't get that hot there.
I guess. I think they went there in 99 when they used Jesse Ventura, I think.
Possibly?
But possibly. Would have made sense. I don't know. Maybe.
No, they need to come here.
Finally, they've come back to Atlanta.
Of course, we need to build the Falcon Stadium before they can do that.
So put on your hard hat and get there and start.
Well, you know, if the city of Atlanta would get their shit together, then we could do it. But, you know, they're working on that.
They are working on that.
It's a race to see which stadium gets done first, the Braves Stadium or the Falcons Stadium.
Right.
Seriously, it's a race at this point.
Someone will get it done. One of them.
Maybe.
Maybe at some point. Hopefully. It'd be nice.
But anyway, tangent.
Tangent diverted.
So speaking of WrestleMania, as you were saying.
That was the tangent, because it was about WrestleMania.
Oh.
33.
Well, fine.
Speaking of WrestleMania and people who are involved in WrestleMania and WWE and real new transition, one little quick story before we get a break. 2K announced development of its first simulation video game for mobile devices with WWE 2K. 2K announced that the first simulation game based WWE video game for mobile platforms, WWE 2K, is in development for iOS and Android and iOS devices, currently scheduled for release in spring of 2015 at price point of $7.99. WWE 2K looks to offer authentic WWE gameplay in a mobile format through inspiration from several popular gameplay elements and mode from WWE 2K flagship WWE video game franchise. Playable roster of many fan favorite WWE superstars include John Cena, Hulk Hogan, Sting, Triple H, Undertaker, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and Bray Wyatt. You'll get 3 match types, full WWE Superstar ring entrances and comprehensive movesets, create a Superstar career mode, live multiplayer matches, unlockable rewards.
Ew, because, you know, I totally need to get addicted to something else.
I know, I'm still trying to get you addicted to something.
I'm not touching SuperGuard. Not doing it. I've heard horror stories about people.
It's addictive.
Not gonna play it. Not gonna do that.
Hey, it comes with fancy cards, as you've seen.
No.
It's addictive at times.
I've heard it's very addictive, so staying away from it. But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening.
Yeah.
To say delayed response.
I was waiting for the music to kick in and it took a second.
Uh-huh. So anyway, when we come back, more news, because we have a lot. We're gonna be talking all about AJ Lee and her departure. We've got some TNA news, and, well, we've got some WWE Studios news, so you don't want to miss it, because stay tuned. Later in the show, we are also talking everything WrestleMania. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
One life, one choice, gotta do it right. One chance of proving to the world that you was right. Like a match waiting for a spark to ignite. Sitting in mid and thinking if you'll make it through the night. And rise up like a phoenix flying through the light. Or shine once like a shooting star losing sight. You see, man, the difference between you and I is I'ma keep doing what I do, cause it's do or die. Ain't got time for the not getting big game. Got one life, living mine in the quick lane.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow wow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And yes, we are about to light it up because we are in the second half of our news segment. Good God, there's so much news. And we have to talk about the biggest, or I should say the other biggest story that came out of WrestleMania week. And that is that one AJ Lee has retired from WWE.
This story was so big, we thought about recording it with Lindsay having no voice.
Yeah. Seriously tried to get a voice Friday, because that's when the news broke, because I was sitting here and my phone went off and I was like talking to my mom and I was like sitting there and I saw the notification pop up and I was like, holy crap. And my mom was like, what? Like, I don't think I can explain it.
So,
but it's like, you wouldn't get it, basically, but it's like, oh my God, AJ retired. That's crazy.
So I'm sitting there in the restaurant waiting to pick up dinner. I get this text from Lindsay. So about the show.
Yeah, so about the show. Because we were going to actually record WrestleMania separate, and we were going to tack AJ on, but again, no voice.
All right, we were going to do the show, but it was going to be, anyway. Point being, we were trying, and things broke Friday. It was like, holy crap. And I was like, AJ Lee retires. Interesting. Because you weren't, on one hand, you weren't expecting it, but on the other hand, you should have been.
It's not, like, once you get over the initial shock that it happened, it's not a huge surprise. It had been rumored for a while that she had been planning on it.
Right.
Especially after she got married, and, you know, honestly, after everything she's done, I don't know if there's really anything else she can do. Does that make sense?
In terms of accomplishments, probably not. She, you know, there were things she could do. She probably wanted to wrestle Steph. She probably wanted to wrestle some of the new girls coming up. But it's like, for her, she's in a tough spot because of the environment she's in.
Yeah.
Because and her husband is in legal battles with the head trainer for WWE. It's like, here she is, she's a rock in between a hard place.
Yeah, and it doesn't help the way that her husband left, because I'm sure, you know, there are people that support him, and there are people that don't support him, and they're gonna take it out on her a little bit, you know, maybe not completely, but everybody's gonna take that out a little bit on the person associated with the person they're mad at. So it had to be extremely uncomfortable for her to be working there.
Especially once the podcast dropped.
Yeah.
Once the podcast dropped, things probably really changed. They were probably not the best being there, but once the podcast dropped and he just sort of...
Let everybody have it.
Let everyone have it, told his side of the story, and just ripped into the company. That next Monday had to be like, hi, I'm just going to sit over here. I'm not here if you need me. I'm just going to be in the corner. Just ignore me.
Like, I don't control him. I don't know what he did. I am so sorry.
You know who he is. He's CM Punk. He just goes off with the mouth. You know.
Yeah, so, and I'm sure she also wanted to take time off. I'm sure she wanted to let her body heal up, because it's probably harder on her than it is on some of the other girls, because there's not a lot to AJ. Let's be frank. She's
100 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, and it's gotta be harder on her.
And she's taken time off recently for her body to heal up and everything. And it's something, she's now married. It's been she was engaged a year ago. Even though Twitter decided to say they broke up one night, which was an amazing story on its own. And they're coming up on their 1 year, wedding anniversary in June.
Yes.
So hopefully congratulations to them. We'll talk about it in June. But it's sort of like, okay, she is the longest reigning Divas champion in company history. She got 2 WrestleMania moments, actually 3. She's been part of, 4 WrestleMania moments now?
Think so.
She kissed Daniel Bryan the 1 year, where she became the kiss of the, she kissed Ziggler the next year. Had her real moment at WrestleMania 30 when she won the Battle Royal, which we it wasn't the Battle Royal, it was the Invitational.
Yeah.
Which no one thought she was going to retain the title with. And then, you know, she got the win at WrestleMania in San Jose, San Francisco, wherever you want to call it, this past year. So she's had her moment, she's been in the company since 2009, right?
I think
that's one of the things we brought it back to. And she's young enough. If she ever wants to come back, retirement is never, you know, a thing that lasts forever. It's wrestling. But they'll probably be holding to her contract for a while, till it runs out. And even then, it could roll over into something else and become something, and you know how their contracts work. Just look at Rey Mysterio.
Yeah.
But something where, she's married.
Well, I mean, at this point, you just look at her from a financial perspective. She's been smart with her money. She doesn't spend lavishly. She's just sort of been probably putting money away. She's married to someone who's very well off. Punk has been smart with his money as well. He's put a lot of it away. He's not a lavish spender. He already owns his home. They're pretty much set up for life if they're smart. And she doesn't need to continue wrestling. She's been a top diva now for at least 2 to 3 years. At least two.
2.5. Actually 3 with her role as the general manager. She probably made a lot in merch sales, because a lot of girls have bought her merch, including someone on this phone call last night.
Hey, you know, they're gonna put that shirt on sale for $10. I'm gonna buy it.
Right?
You know, just
go to www.shop.com. They're running a sale for another hour or so.
But yeah, I mean, she's career-wise, she's had an amazing career. I'm sure there's more that she wants to do, but the opportunities to do that are probably slim to nil or have already closed. And it's something that you reach that point where it's time to move on. And I think she's reached that point. I think she wants to go to whatever that next phase of her life is, whether she stays home and she just hangs out, whether she has a family, you know, whatever she wants to do. We also need to keep in mind that Punk will be making his UFC debut probably in the summer.
Probably at the end of the year. Somewhere to the end of the year. Somewhere
in that time span. And so it's not going to be a good idea for her to be in WWE when that happens. And so it's easier for her to get out early, you know, get a WrestleMania moment, get a WrestleMania payday, retire after Mania, and move forward with her life. And then that way she can concentrate on being home with him, because I really think that was the primary thing. She just wanted to be home with her husband.
Pretty much. Now, we're going to have a couple discussion questions off of this topic, all right?
Okay.
First one. What's your favorite AJ Lee moment?
Oh my god, when she kissed Kane.
Oh, the drama of that moment.
This is going to sound so pathetic, but I ship Kane and AJ so hard, and I always wanted them to do something more with that, and they never did.
Her Harley Quinn phase.
Her Harley Quinn phase. Like, the Harley Quinn AJ with the Kane mask was just epic.
That was awesome.
And I wish they had done more with that, and they didn't. What about you?
And as we've seen on WWE television, Kane is not, like, the most guy who picks up on the most signals.
He gets so confuddled around women. It's adorable.
He does. I liked when she was in charge of Raw. I really did. I thought they shortchanged her a little bit in that run. I think they could have done more with her. I liked it was different. It's like, you had Vicky Guerrero on SmackDown. That's SmackDown, and that's Vicky Guerrero. This was a young girl in charge of Monday Night Raw causing chaos. I thought that was really cool. I liked her time with Ziggler as well. I thought they left money on the table there too. Those are two things I thought they left money on the table as GM and left money on the table with her and Ziggler, because they were a great heel duo.
Oh, they were. I still want a match between her and Ziggler. I know it will never happen, but I still want that match. Because they did such a great job in that breakup. I thought they did a good job with her and Vicky.
Her and Vicky was done well. Yes, I would agree with that. Like, 2012 was great. That summer. Everything that she led us to hell now.
Yes.
Her role, the love square, we'll call it, with Daniel Bryan, Kane, and CM Punk.
Yeah.
That was some of the best television they did with a female for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I thought they mixed it up really, really well. And she was she may have not been wrestling, but she was actively involved in main events of Monday Night Raw in 2012. That's an accomplishment right there.
Yep.
Now, that's, you know, favorite moments and everything. Plus her feud with Caitlyn. Can't forget that.
Yeah, that was good.
Those two had the chemistry that worked perfectly.
Her
and Big E, yeah.
Oh my god, that was so cute.
Right. Now, that's AJ's legacy, right?
Right.
There's now a hole in the Divas division. Who's going to fill that hole?
You have a cornucopia of girls on the roster right now. Because here's the thing. This is the first Diva to leave. It's been rumored, and there was a cliffhanger on Total Divas, not that you can fully believe it, but there is a cliffhanger on Total Divas, that the Bellas are considering leaving. So that would open two more spots up.
Let's stick with the one for now.
Right, I know. I'm getting there. So you either have the Divas on the current roster step up, which I would love to see of the current roster Divas, Naomi step up and fill that spot.
All right, first off, Naomi, slow it down.
Yeah.
Slow it down. You get too caught up on yourself sometimes when you go too fast. I would love to see Naomi, because they're sort of pushing her in that direction right now, where it's like, all right, she's headed there. I'd like to see her step up, because as we're going to talk about, I think we're talking about this week. This is where I'm looking back at the sheet. I think we're talking about it. Yeah, we are. Okay, so it'll tie in. There's going to be another spot open for 6 weeks when the Diva leaves. So we're going to have two spots currently open that we know about.
Who else is leaving?
Well, Paige, as we're going to talk about, we'll throw it in here because it makes sense.
Yeah.
Paige and The Miz are starring in Santa's Little Helper.
Oh, that's right.
After getting fired from his job, a slick, fast-talking businessman, Dax, is given an opportunity of a lifetime to become Santa Claus' second in command. However, getting the job won't be that easy. Dax must go head-to-head against an elf that feels she's more deserving of the title. As the competition heats up, Dax learns the true meaning of Christmas, but ultimately, who will become Santa's little helper? So she's going to probably be off TV for 6 weeks, coming up here soon, because that's usually the time frame of the month, is 6 weeks.
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that. So it's something where, okay, Naomi's going to fill a spot, but who else is going to fill that spot? Because, again, no offense to some of the girls on the roster, if we're giving, hashtag giving divas a chance, you gotta give some newer divas some chances. And Paige is all for giving some newer divas a chance, and you gotta let some of the girls on the roster right now have the chance. But I don't need to see a Rosa Mendez or a Cameron step into this spot. I would like to see Charlotte.
I'd like to see Sasha Banks. I'm cool with Charlotte, but I'd like to see Sasha.
Sasha would work, but I think she would work better when the Bellas back off a little.
Yeah, she would be better for the Bellas spot. Another one, Bailey.
Yeah, they could do so. Again, that would be, Bailey would be an excellent choice if they bring up Bailey. Like, Charlotte, they come in and throw her right into the fire. Bailey, they're gonna have to train the audience to who she is. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I would love to see Bailey. I would love to see Sasha. I would love to see Charlotte. One of them filled the spot of AJ.
Absolutely.
Because it's like, those girls can go. Like, really, legitimately go.
Yeah, we're about to see, as the Divas division begins to turn over, I think we're going to see a second coming of the Divas division, where you're transitioning from the more model types who are good in the ring, who have learned, who have adapted and have grown, and they are good at what they do, to wrestlers who have really perfected their craft. And that's not a shot at the girls who are in the ring right now. That is not intended as a shot.
It's not a shot, no.
There is a very clear difference between some of the girls on the roster right now and some of the girls down in NXT. And as those girls on the roster transition off and move on to other things, you're going to see the girls down in NXT come up, and you're going to see huge difference in the Divas division. We're going to see a change, and there's a lot of people talk about it, but there's the golden era of the Divas division, of the women's division. And we could almost get that again. Which, as a female fan, that is super exciting to me, to actually see legit female wrestlers going out there and representing and just kicking ass and taking names. I would be totally okay with that.
That would be pretty cool. Because, yeah, we mentioned Lita and the Trishes and the Ivories, et cetera, et cetera. That was the golden age. And we've had good women's wrestling with Mickie James, and there's been some Beth Phoenixes and Natalias and everything.
They never gave Beth Phoenix the chance they should have.
Because I don't think there was enough talent around her to do it.
No, there wasn't. There really, really wasn't.
And
unfortunately.
There was no offense to Kelly and the like, because Kelly improved as she got, as she moved on.
Yeah.
Just like the Bellas, they've grown into the role. It's just something sort of like, there's a chance, with the girls down there, and you don't bring them all up at once, because then you're overloaded, and it's like, what's next? If you bring them up individually and solely, you're going to have a nice group of talent in the next year to 18 months. And with this whole Give Divas a Chance thing, Paige was talking about it in an interview. It's like, WWE is so cool about it, because it's not like a huge difference, but they're not making the girls rush anymore. They're giving them more time. And it's more, but they're not rushing through the segment like they used to. It's not a throwaway segment.
No, it's not.
Which is the best part of it all.
I agree.
But it's sad to see AJ go. But at the same time, there's a nice group of talent waiting in the wings.
Yes. Yes, there is. But there's one talent down in NXT who sadly isn't waiting in the wings, because before AJ could depart, another talent left WWE, and, well, we can no longer cheer for Mr. Man Panties. I'm so sad, because CJ Parker has left the building.
Aww.
I know.
He's highly liked by a lot of the NXT talent, and he's apparently going to do very well on the indie scene. So good luck to CJ Parker.
Yes, absolutely, 100% good luck to him as you move forward.
There's nothing really to add to that. He has to leave. He left on good terms. He wants to go to Japan, do some indies. And you know, the door for him, it's always open.
I think for him, he wasn't really going anywhere.
He's been down there 4 years.
Yeah,
so it's like, he's not seeing any growth. He's not moving forward, so it's like, alright.
And I think they appreciate that, that, you know, you see yourself, you're stuck, you're not going to go forward, you're not going to go any higher, and you're just taking up a spot and you're collecting a paycheck. And you can do that until they let you go, or you can say, hey, look, this isn't working out, I'd like to leave, and open up to the spot to somebody else that could really use it.
Right.
And you have to applaud that in him, that it's like, hey, look, I'm not happy, I'm not moving forward, I want to go try my luck somewhere else.
Right.
So good on him.
Exactly.
Just a quick note, in addition to the Santa's Little Helper, Variety has reported that WWE Studios will be teaming with the British production company Richwater Films to co-produce and co-finance two movies. We're going to see Eliminators starring Wade Barrett, which will start filming in London in late spring, and Rampage, which they plan on starting production later this year. No names are attached to the title yet.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Circling that one down. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
Despite all the WrestleMania news, we have some TNA and GFW news brought to you by our friends over at TNA Asylum, the haven for TNA fans. TNA announced that they signed a brand new deal with the Fight Network in Canada.
In Canada. Yeah, the Fight Network is like a premium channel, so you have to pay a couple extra dollars to get up to that next tier. But they're on the Fight Network. It airs on Fridays at 9 p.m. It's a big move for them. They're in Canada, which they haven't been in since they moved to Destination America.
Right.
Speaking of Destination America, they're pleased with the ratings. They've seen significant growth for the network. And there's a live tweet episode of Impact on the 10th, which is tomorrow, where they're going to be flashing live fan tweets on the screen. And there will be a live episode of Impact on May 8th.
Sweet.
So there you go.
So we should also note that you can see newly signed stars or newly re-signed stars, Bobby Lashley, Bram, and Robbie E on those episodes of Impact. Maybe.
By the way, if you're not on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/ImpactWrestling, watch Rockstar Spud in Wrestler's Court. I'm with Spud Wednesdays. They're very funny. Now that he's back on his own actual show.
Spud is such a treasure.
He is awesome. He is the current reigning defending TNA X Division champion.
Wait, what?
Yeah, he cashed in and won the championship.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. There's your TNA report.
He's gonna die, but good for him.
Yeah, since he stole it away from Low-Key, yeah, he's gonna die.
Oh god, he stole it from Low-Key. Run! Run, Spud! Run!
He cashed in, did a whole quick cash-in briefcase deal, ran out of the building with the belt.
Gee, sounds like somebody else we know. And just a quick GFW update, the first three shows at the Orleans Arena will take place on Friday, July 24th, Friday, August 21st, and Friday, October 23rd. GFW has alliances with 13 affiliates on 5 continents, including New Japan Pro Wrestling, Mexico's AAA, and federations in Europe, Australia, and Africa. So, well, they're getting stuff up off the ground.
They've also signed a deal with a lighting company.
Hi.
They put that out on the press release, too.
Hey, you know what? It works.
It works, so there you go.
So, I think we're finally out of news.
I think we are. Possibly.
So.
Possibly.
Maybe. So, I say we take our second and final break of the evening, and when we come back, we are going to be talking all about WrestleMania 31. So.
Plus tweet of the week.
Yeah, plus tweet of the week. This is going to be a long show, y'all, so just stick with us, and we're all going to get through it together. So.
We think we can.
Yes. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. your choices were Fandangoing, yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucked, and What's Up? Sub, what'd you pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucked.
No, you didn't.
What was it? They're great.
Great. I love these picks.
Sub, you picked Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel Bryan, of course.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Sure. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel Bryan yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were the Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
Say I went with the first one where they try to chain the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get them all awful? Do I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl trick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right, so you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate, everyone picked CB Radio and WTR. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
thinking something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Getting.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. I feel like this song should be our theme song.
Yeah, it's not a bad song.
Wasn't a bad live performance either, but we'll get to that when we talk about WrestleMania here in a few minutes. But first, because he's got 2 weeks worth, because you know my immune system can't play nice, we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right, Nikki and Brie. Ha ha, Lana at Lana WWE deserved that. Don't mess with my man. The champ is back and here. Hashtag WrestleMania. Lana replies, any woman can stay behind her man. A real woman forges her own path. I will change history, not win beauty pageants. No, no love for the Bellas from Lana. Go, Lana.
Right. My turn now?
No.
You got more. Oh, cool.
I got more. I got one more.
Right.
A record for me. Because, you know. I haven't had a chance.
The last time we did a show, you were like way past me. So it's like,
yeah, I had more than you last show, so we're making up the difference now.
Right.
Big E, New Day sucks. Up all your cares and troubles and vomits them into a bucket of hope. No thanks necessary. Hashtag Raw. Now I'm done.
Not SportsCenter. Tonight's hashtag Hawks game starting lineup with the number one seed clinched. Pete, point guard. Cowboy, shooting guard. The beer guy. Small forward. A fan from the third row. Power forward, Janitor Bob. Center, random hobo. Mike Sempervivi.
Wait. We'll see if that plays true, because, you know, two Hawks players got arrested today, so.
Oops. Mike
Sempervivi.
Just remember, Larry, if you don't have the words, just thank T's mama. Hashtag WWE Hall of Fame.
Yep, very true.
Keep it five star. Luke Harper just killed Dean Ambrose, officially ending the tank top war of 2015. Hashtag WrestleMania. Three-man booth. They're making Sting feel at home. He's facing Terror Rising with Charles Little Nate Robinson as the referee. Hashtag WrestleMania. Three-man booth. There's only one way to settle this. War games. NWO versus DX. Three-man booth. Russia hates America. And all, but he's got a tank, so we cool?
The tank. Oh my god, we're gonna talk about the tank.
Three-man booth. Ronda Rousey's in the ring. Throws the belt in the trash. Alondra Blaze and Nikki Bella. Hashtag WrestleMania. Three-man booth. Don't cross Lady Brock Lesnar, Stephanie. Which is very, very true. As I sort of lost my place. Where was I?
Oh, God.
No, here we go. Because I keep... Anyway. With every suplex, Paul Heyman gets closer and closer to being the count from Sesame Street. 8 suplexes. Ha, ha, ha. Hashtag WrestleMania. Scott Hall.
That's how they do it in Suplex City, yo. Bitch. Anyway, continue.
I can't continue at the moment. I have to.
Suplex City, bitch!
Scott Hall, I gave Sting a bat. Hashtag WrestleMania 31. PTI, lies told on Mondays. Hashtag. This rogue game must be working. We hit 1 million Twitter followers. Hashtag spot the lie. Fake ESPN. NFL fines Falcons $350,000 in Doc's draft pick for fake crowd noise. Say, they don't tolerate cheating and that doesn't result in a championship. Three-man booth. Sheamus has the haircut of someone who lost the bar bet. Three-man booth. Who knew hashtag Suplex City was a suburb of hashtag F5 County? Keep it five-star. If Raw were GTA, Brock Lesnar would have 5 stars over his head right now. Three-man booth. It's the Road Scholars. Well, kinda, man. It's been a strange 2 years. Hashtag Raw. WWE Creative Ish. We need someone on commentary. Send out the coach, said Vince McMahon. That's not said us. Do as I say, damn it. Hashtag Vince. Hashtag Raw tonight. Keep it five star. Can Carlito come back and beat John Cena for the US title again? Keep it five star. If Dean Ambrose wants to be the be on the wall champion, he might as well challenge Nikki Bella next.
I'm pretty sure she'd lay down for him.
Three-man booth. Roman Reigns, zero belts. Dean Ambrose, zero belts. Seth Rollins, the belt. Hashtag Raw after WrestleMania. Keep it five star. Orton calls up Cody Rhodes. Cody, I need a partner. Let's reform Legacy. Stardust, don't call me Cody. Hisses, then hangs up. Hashtag Raw. Carmella, hashtag we want Bayley chance on Raw after Mania. My best friend is so cool. WWE Creative-ish. You can't blame Lola for not knowing the difference between real Paige and AJ Lee since he only knows them by their asses. It's a true story. The John Report. Looking forward to Lesnar vs. Cole at WrestleMania 32. Can Lesnar end his streak? I hope Kayfabe News is excited too. Heel Ziggler. If I was gone for months and no one was forced to care, I'd be mad too. I've never respected someone less and I've wrestled Snooki. Fella. Ziggler. Wisconsin on a bigger run than DMC. Hashtag Final Four. The Phillies opening day lineup. To Stan Schmidt. Number 1, depression. 2, anger. 3, sadness. 4, loathing. 5, despair. 6, bitterness. 7, hate. 8, Jeff Francoeur. 9, pain. God, it was painful. Tracy Books tweets out a picture of her and Frankie Zarian and says, split family. Let's go Blue Jays at Frankie Zarian. Let's go Angels. AJ Styles replied, baseball is okay to be split. I get it. If this were college football, though, divorced. Chris Jericho, for those worried that tonight's podcast with John Cena is going to be corporate, you're right. All my questions have been approved by Jack Tully. Kevin Cooney, I'll sum it up. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left. As to why the NBC 10 feed is black. I wanted to watch tonight, then they did have trouble. Because these continues. Philly sucks so bad NBC broke their own channel. Keep it five stars. Seth Rollins legit pulled a parent move and came back into the room to yell at Kane some more. Hashtag roll. Keep it five star. Fighting evil by Moonlight. Moonlight. NXT by Daylight. Red Arrow makes him take flight. He is the one named Neville Moon. Kevin Owens. Saw a possum cross the street. Popped Ute. Stopped the cart. Chased it. Got hissed at. Ran back to the car. Drove away. Tweeted about it. Oh, Kevin.
How is Kevin like this badass on TV but the biggest dork in real life?
Just wait. It gets better. First, Corey Graves. This one time, a guy made me really mad. Sorry, I started clapping. And then I got punched in the face. Hashtag the new day. Bully Ray. Do Heyman hustle. Take me down to Suplex City where bitches get thrown and Brock shows no pity. This one's for Kinkins. Fake ESPN. Tony Romo promised Jahlil Okafor he'd win the Super Bowl if Duke won national championship. Romo now clarifying he meant in Madden. Just saying. Kevin Owens. Go to a zoo today. Joey from Wrestling Jerry Mercury. I did. City Central in Glasgow. Way cool. Also, I hear so much slower than they talk. Kevin Owens replied, man, all that sounds like a blast. That's Tweet of the Week.
Oh my god, wrestlers and Twitter, it's amazing.
Especially when they interact with each other, now that they're overseas for 2 weeks, it's going to be amazing.
Did Owens go over with them, or did he stay here in the States?
He's here in the States.
Bummer.
Right?
But Finn's over there.
Finn Balor is over there, yes.
Okay. Well, speaking of Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, and the rest of the WWE crew, there was a little of it 2 weeks ago. And because, you know, I was dead last week, this is what happens when my sunshine and my only sunshine does not show up on Raw.
We kind of figured, you know, it is true. Cause,
Hashtag blame taker.
Hashtag blame taker. It's all his fault. We'll get to
that. It's totally his fault. That I got sick. We're blaming Taker for this, because, you know, Bray wasn't on TV last Raw. This week he was, but last week.
No, last week. He's on SmackDown. He was on SmackDown tonight, so.
Yay!
He fought
Eric. Why? Why does he have to fight his children? Why can't he just, you know, re-accept his children?
Because the rest of the roster went overseas.
God damn it, people! Get your shit together! They couldn't go find Zack Ryder.
He was fighting Bo Dallas in Glasgow on Wednesday.
Son of a bitch.
Right.
Anyway, WrestleMania, because it's the delayed WrestleMania spectacular. It happened 2 weeks ago. We're finally getting the chance to react to it because again, I was sick. Sorry.
I've been holding back all these thoughts for like 10 days now. God.
You have not. You're so full of shit.
I've been holding back some. Well, we've this anyway. Anyway.
Yes, some have been held back. Some have been already discussed. I've kind of had the benefit of being able to go back and actually watch it again.
I've done that. Parts of it.
Parts of it. Really the only part I cared about. Which we're going to get into, but first I say we start with the pre-show.
And we're going to start on the first hour of the pre-show. I don't know
because
if
it was a 2-hour pre-show.
I don't know if you, did you see the whole 2 hours?
Yes.
Alright. Then we got to talk about the match of the night. In one corner, Joey Mercury, Jamie Noble. In the other corner, Pat Patterson, Gerald Briscoe.
Oh my god, I marked so hard.
The coffee battle for the end all ages.
Stooges versus Stooges. Book it. Somebody book it. I don't care if Jerry and Pat are in their 80s. Book it.
Kind of amazing.
It was awesome. Like, I don't think I've popped like that in a while. And that's going to kind of be the theme of this WrestleMania to a point. Because there were a lot of nostalgia moments with this show, and this was one of them. And you knew when this happened, it was like, oh, this is going to be a good night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All right, so with that out of the way, we'll get into the first match on the pre-show. Tag team titles. Cesaro and Kid versus New Day versus the Usos versus Los Matadors. First thing on my notes, Natty's outfit.
Holy hell, Natty. It was see-through, there were boobs, there was skin tight, there was just...
Spikes!
There was this really ugly sweater thing, I don't know if, like, her knitting machine exploded or something. But yeah, holy hell, Natty! I mean, damn!
And then the New Day's outfit?
Seahawk Dayglow green. That's what that was, it was Seahawks colors. Minus the blue.
Well, it's the Dayglow green of the Seahawks, yeah. It's a popular color right now.
Because, you know, I didn't need my eyeballs for this show. Not at all.
Especially in the sun?
Yeah. Especially in the sun. No, totally. Totally didn't need that. And by the way, for the people that had to sit in the sun for 5 hours, props. Mad props to you. You are a braver soul than I am. And I hope you had sunscreen.
Yes, hope you had sunscreen. Alright, so Jey Uso left hurt.
Yes.
We had the what has continued, the New Day sucks chant, while Xavier clapped on the ring, which is now turning into a thing. I don't know if I'm okay with it, but it was funny at WrestleMania. So the main star of the match, Jey Uso wrestled hurt. Or Jimmy Uso wrestled on his own, rather, because Jey was hurt. There was a multiple suplex spot onto everyone, which led to a Matador backcracker powerbomb spot, which was pretty cool. Natty put the bull in the sharpshooter. Go Natty.
Go Natty.
There was a double dive by Naomi and Jimmy. She was playing the part of Jey Uso.
That was pretty sweet.
There was a nice double team uppercut by Cesaro and Kid. We had the double Tower of Doom spot, which was really cool. But the finish saw Jimmy Uso hit the frog splash and Cesaro take him out and pick up the win for his team.
To me, this felt a little messy.
It was a little bit messy. I won't lie. It was. But it was exciting.
It was exciting. It was a good match. But it just, to me, it was a little messy. But that's okay.
That's definitely okay. It's what you wanted out of an exciting opener on a pre-show.
Yes, that's what you want. You want it to be exciting.
And it didn't feel like a pre-show opener.
No, it didn't. They went out there and they tried to tear it down.
We then had the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Oh my god, Eric. Oh my god, Bo.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We're gonna
get there. Just get there!
First, Curtis Axel got body surfed out of the ring. Cause all 29 other guys were like, huh? No, we're not, no. No, not gonna. You're just gonna go. Just gonna go. We had Rose and Fandango eliminate each other. Thanks for playing. We had a confrontation between Riley, Mizdow, and Miz, where Mizdow and Miz actually got rid of Alex Riley. And then we saw Bo Dallas, and what was called, his Bo T.
His Bo T.
And later you found out, what was did he wear to the ring?
His vest.
His very special Bo Lee vest.
Oh my god, that child is a mess, and it's amazing. Bo, honey. Please shave your face. Please. For the love of God. Shave your face.
But Bo Dallas got his WrestleMania moment by eliminating Zack Ryder, then did a victory lap, and then got eliminated by Hideo Itami.
Jiggle, 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 jiggle. We'll get to Hideo in a minute, but yeah, Bo. I'm digging the vest. I like the vest. The goatee?
Bo-tee.
Whatever the hell it is, no. Honey, no. Just go shave your face. Okay, I understand it took you 2 months to grow that thing.
3.
Whatever. Go shave your face. Please. It is creepy as all hell. Like, he looks like that crazy stalker guy that's gonna come out of the back of a van.
All you gotta do is Bo leave.
There can only be one creepy crazy cult leader in that family, and that job is filled.
And then,
Just saying.
So we then had the Hideo Itami spot. By the way, if you haven't seen it, go watch this week's edition of NXT, because they do a very nice, about 10-minute video package on Hideo Itami's journey to WrestleMania. Man, it was epic.
Him with his kids.
Right?
Oh my god, that's so cute!
He has kids with him. They showed him finally hitting the GTS and how over it got.
Oh my god.
The quote was basically, "I got my move back finally." Shot.
You
fired.
Little shit, Hideo, I love you.
Shot fired. It was amazing. So hopefully now that's the start of, hey, the GTS is now going back to Hideo.
Yeah, I think they're gonna let him use it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, once he hits that on TV, it's
pretty epic. But he hit in front of 5,000 people, pretty epic there too.
Yeah, the pop he got was amazing.
And I love that they, on NXT this week, they showed the matches from NXT.
Yes.
From Access, where they, you know, they showed the two semifinals and the finals, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So Big Show then eliminated Hideo.
Aww.
He then eliminated all three members of the New Day.
Aww.
He then eliminated Eric Rowan.
God damn it.
Eric tried.
Poor Eric. He needs a hug. And a cookie.
He does.
And Steve.
He does. Hey, a Steve reference. First time in a while.
And rabbit stew.
You know, it was just, you know, the bunny was alive on Sunday for Easter, and now you're already putting him back in the pot. God damn. It's not even a week after Easter, and you're already killing the bunny. God.
Bunny.
Was it chocolatey?
It was.
There you go.
Actually, I'm pretty excited because on Half Price Candy Day, I picked up a chocolate, like a big chocolate rabbit for like $2.
Hey.
Right?
So, Cesaro was in this match. And they tried to recreate the body slam spot, and well, this time it didn't work.
Cesaro, son.
Can only work once. So he gets eliminated by Big Show. Big Show eliminates the Ryback. It's down to Miz now. Miz and the Big Show. Miz Dow tells, no to the Miz. No, not going to happen. And then, you know, he says he quits or whatever. He eliminates the Miz. Skins the cat back in the ring. He at one point was biting on the fingers of the Big Show to try and eliminate him, which was kind of special. But eventually, Miz Dow couldn't get him over the top. Big Show eliminates Miz Dow. Big Show wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Well, yay for Miz and Miz Dow splitting.
Hooray, about time. But it's going to be the end of Miz Dow. But
well, this could be just the beginning, too.
I said what I said.
Gotta have faith. Gotta have hope. I'm not sure about Show winning the Battle Royal. Like, obviously good for him and congratulations and all of that is in order. It's just, it was kind of like, really? Really? You're going to put, really?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you're looking at who was in that match, and it's like, wow, there are a lot of people who actually could have benefited from that.
Right.
People who are, you know, you're trying to push in your main event, like Ryback.
Or, you know, use someone like Mizdell, or Hideo Itami, or Eric Rowan.
Oh, Eric had never had a chance, but think about that. Think about Hideo winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and taking that back to NXT.
Right.
Like, actually, it made it feel so worthless. Mm-hmm. And it still feels kind of worthless. Because it's like, well, really? Like, it was a letdown, that's all.
I agree. So we now move to the main show, WrestleMania. The granddaddy of them all.
The show shows. It's here. It's starting. Oh, my God. Ah!
Cool opening with our local Jay.
Yes.
The national anthem was cool.
Yes.
And the first main note I wrote down, so many announced teams.
So many announced teams. So much coolness to the set. We gotta talk about the set before we actually get into the show.
Yeah, talk about it.
So, we had been hearing rumors about the set all week, and it's like they were saying that because it's an open-air stadium, they can't really hide a lot. It's gonna be daylight, so they can't use the normal tricks that they use. If you look at the set, it's virtually the set from 28.
Minus the palm trees.
Minus the palm trees. They've got a new, more tech-type WrestleMania. Up there, it kind of looks like WrestleMania 2000 a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that's for this year, yeah.
But I really liked the circular screen where the play button was, and then the large screen on the backdrop because they did some really cool stuff with the graphics. And then I liked the play button carpet. I thought they did a really nice job designing that aspect of it. And then when you got to the ring, they had to have the canopy and the overhang for everything. But they didn't enclose it this year. It was all open and exposed, and you could see through it.
Right, and yeah. I liked it. As the night go on, you could see how much detail they put actually on top of it with the lighting of it. It was really well done.
Yeah, they did a very, very nice job with the set this year. They did some really cool entrances with it, which we'll get into.
It was simple. But guess what? In 2015, the sets can be simple. Because you can do so much with them graphically.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is it's like, I like that you can do more with it with the screens than having this big static set.
Though some of the sets have been cool, like last year was cool.
Last year was cool.
29 was pretty cool, too.
29 is pretty epic, but, you know, in terms of... And that's not to say that they aren't going to do more big sets like that, but there was such a nice, beautiful simplicity to this, and the fact that you had... the graphics, and they did so just some really cool stuff with it to tie it into Silicon Valley and everything. That was just really super nice.
And when they do it, they did an interview on WWE.com. They talk about they go in a year in advance and think of things. It's like, they're already thinking of 32. It's like, wow.
Oh, I cannot wait to see what they do at 32.
It's going
to
be pretty cool, I would assume.
Make sure the windows close when Taker comes out.
Did they mean the roof?
Yeah, whatever the fuck that thing is called.
No, you won't need, actually, because it's in Texas, you won't need it.
Mm-mm.
No, because there's a roof, even if it's a retractable one, it goes up higher, so you black out more of the light. So you can actually do more darkness stuff in it.
Oh, I know, but still make sure the roof's closed.
You may close the roof, but that's an hour earlier too. There's more wiggle room too.
Yeah.
Anyways, we discussed the ins and outs of time zones here on the rack. Brought to you by Wrestling Figure Wednesday and YouTube.com/MBG1211 and PWMania.com. We're about a half hour into this segment. Might as well plug them again since we're getting into the main show.
Right.
So, ladder match, Intercontinental Championship.
Holy crap, this match.
Bad News Bear, Daniel Bryan, Dolph Ziggler, Stardust, Luke Harper, Dean Ambrose, and R-Truth.
They all tried to kill each other, number one.
Number two, everyone got fancy, including Luke Harper.
He did! He got a new outfit! He was all shiny and pretty.
Except for the shirt.
Yeah, except for the shirt. But, you know, he got new pants, he got a new plaid shirt with everybody's names crossed off. Dean came out in his spiffy little leather jacket with his logo on it and his glasses. Ziggler got a new jacket. Stardust got a cape. That looks like from Mr. Sinister, which is amazing.
Yeah.
Bryan, I don't think, got anything.
I think he got new tights. A thing for the top.
And I don't recall Truth getting anything.
He may have got new pants. Who knows?
He may have got new pants, and then Barrett got new gear.
Barrett had new gear, yeah. So, we have the following star, Harper didn't dove on everyone, Ambrose didn't then climb the ladder, went, hey guys, I'm up here, you see me, boom, with the elbow drop off the top of the ladder.
Oh my god.
Harper gets caught in the ladder, Bryan kicks him repeatedly, Stardust works over everyone's leg, Stardust had his own ladder, the Starbird.
Okay, can we just talk about the Starbird for just one second? I feel so bad for the intern who had to make that thing. Because first you have to paint it, and then they had to individually bejewel this ladder. The sides, the rails, the whole thing was covered in, like, crystals. I don't even know what to call it. But, it was so over the top and fantastic, and it worked for Stardust, but it got destroyed in, like, 5 seconds. And you know whoever had to make that was like, aww.
And then if you watch the JBL and Cole show from Friday, Stardust was upset about it, and he was having Barrett apologize for breaking Starbird.
And I'm so proud of Wade Barrett for apologizing with a straight face.
Right?
That was so well done.
It was. Harper threw Dean face first into a ladder. Harper did the whirly word spin with the ladder, hitting people.
Basically, Luke tried to kill people.
Yeah. Think Terry Funk when he does the whirly bird and spins with it. Superplex on the big ladder by Barrett on the Stardust. Looked like Barrett, like, jammed his neck. It's kind of scary. And then the move went, oh my god, someone's dead. Luke Harper powerbombed Dean Ambrose into a ladder.
Holy crap. That was scary. Because of the way that Ambrose hit. It was like, oh, and he's dead.
Yeah, he bumped his head pretty good.
Yeah, and after that, Luke had, like, this big-ass smile on his face. Like, he was having fun.
Like I said, Tweet of the Week, Harper won the Battle of the Clothing.
Yep. He now gets to wear the pants and the gray shirt.
Yeah. Ziggler gets pulled off the ladder, gets knocked out by Mulhammer. R-Truth got knocked out by one. Brian got knocked out by one by Wade Barrett. But eventually, Brian gets back up, knocks Barrett off the ladder. Brian gets close, gets taken out, running knee to Barrett. Ziggler and Brian brawl on top of the ladder. Repeated headbutts, bang, 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 bang. But eventually, Daniel Bryan knocks him off, pulls down the title, your new Intercontinental Champion. Yes, 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 Daniel Bryan.
To no one's surprise, it's Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, it's well deserved. He will bring prestige to the title, and he will take it to SmackDown, and he will hold it with honor in SmackDown.
Pretty much. So, good opener.
Very good opener. As expected, a show stealer. Great, great way to start WrestleMania.
Up next, Seth Rollins versus Randy Orton. This is where the debut of Randy Orton's new elbow pads.
A la 2003.
A la 2003. And Seth Rollins had a brand new outfit.
He looked so snazzy in his little gold and gray outfit.
He did. He really, really did. We had the DDT off the apron to J&J Security, this one. Or Rollins with a big dive on Orton. Nice powerbomb tease to the curb stop. Power slam tease into a curb stop tease into the power slam. We had a side moonsault by Rollins on the outside, which was really pretty.
Yeah, it was.
Orton had a nice crossbody from the top rope for a long two count. Rollins tried to do his flip finish thing that I still can't remember because I never wrote the name of the move. I don't even know. I was told about it 10 days ago on Wrestle Talk Radio.
The flippy thing.
King Kins will probably remind me here in a minute in the chat room because I don't remember. Then you go to the RKO for a two count. Orton goes for the punt. RKO to Noble Mercury instead. Curb stop, two count. Phoenix splash attempt, no. Curb stop, no. Elevated so high in the air, the highest elevation he's ever gotten, right into an RKO. Your winner, Randy Orton.
The finish on this was sick.
Yeah, it was.
That was a great, great finish. It was actually a really, really good match. Orton looked good. Seth looked good. And this was sort of maybe a little foreshadowing because we were saying that it's like, well, if Seth loses, then that could be setting himself up for something later because, well, he is Mr. Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth lost, so, well.
You know.
Could that be foreshadowing? Which, you know, obviously everybody and their brother's now seen WrestleMania, so yes. Yes, it is.
Spoiler alert. God.
Dude, we're 2 weeks removed. If you haven't seen it yet, what the hell?
Some people are still waiting for their friends to give them a VHS copy of it so they don't have to illegally download it.
If you could see my face right now. Face, but not quite.
So, good match. Solid match. Nothing special except for that big RKO.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it wasn't meant to be special based on what happened later in the night.
But it wasn't a bad match. The way I put it, the best technically sound match on the show.
It was nice to see that Randy did not do to Seth what he did to Roman.
He actually performed for Seth Rollins.
Yeah. He sandbagged Roman a lot, so it's nice to see that he actually gave Seth a good match. And yeah, I mean, it was a very nice follow-up to the ladder match. It wasn't as good, but it was a very nice follow-up.
I would agree with that. Alright, so now we're getting into the beginning of entrances. It is the man they call the Vigilante, known as Sting, taking you on the King of Kings, Triple H. Let's first start with Sting. He had face-painted drummers for his entrance. Reaction?
Definitely different. Very cool. It was funny, a friend of mine was wrestling in, or who lives in Japan, was like, wait, is Sting's music Japanese? No, Sherry, I don't think it is. But it was still a really cool visual. I liked, again, the simplicity of it, because it speaks to Sting. He's not frills, he's not fancy, he's not in your face. He's simple, he's to the point, and he's scary looking dudes in white face paint.
Pretty much. He had a nice shiny new red coat.
He did. His little flash.
And go ahead.
No scarecrows.
No scarecrows, because somebody else had scarecrows.
Yes.
And he wore no shirt.
Which made Rock very happy.
Because he was, you know, in TNA, he always wore the shirt. It's like, he's a wrestler now. He's not wearing this stupid t-shirt. Then, it was time.
Because, you know, he got toned up for WrestleMania.
He did. And then it was time to play the game.
Holy shit.
Led in by Arnold Schwarzenegger, which was really cool. And then he had Terminators in his entrance.
Yes. And he had soldiers. And he had a Terminator skull thing.
And then he had skulls dangling from him.
I mean, this entrance happened, and it's like, this was way cooler than you ever expected it to be. And then going back and rewatching it a second time, because I'll get to what it looked like in the first time. The second time is like, damn, I wish this had been in the dark.
Right, it was like, God, it would look.
God,
like,
that would have been so cool.
The lighting effects they could have done with it.
Yeah, that's like the only disappointing thing, is they did a really, really great job with this entrance, because when Hunter and the Terminators rose from the stage, the way that they shot it is they shot it looking up. And so the fog comes out from under the platforms that they're on. And for a second, it looks like they're going to fly.
I thought they were.
I was with Rock. I honestly, it's like, wait, are they going to levitate to the ring? What are they going to do? And they didn't, but it's like, it was such a cool visual to see that. And then it's like with the Skull King headpiece, and he had arm extensions. And what was cool about the Skull King piece was it had like the little scope on the eye. I mean, they put some money behind this.
Money. Yeah.
And it was awesome. It's just, and this is going to be, again, a recurring theme. I wish it had been in the dark.
Right, pretty much. Now, what was very interesting, at the very beginning of the match, they announced, only way to win is by pinfall or submission.
There's a stip that got added at the last minute.
And they were nonchalantly just throwing it out there.
Yeah, like, oh yeah, it's been, you know, it's been no DQ the whole time.
Right. We had, you still got a chance right out of the gate for Sting. Sting went for a Stinger Splash on the outside, Triple H moved. First real sign of danger for Sting. So, you know, things are going well, match is solid, both guys are going at it. Really good match. Sting puts in the Scorpion Deathlock, D-Generation X shows up. What?
Yeah, out of nowhere, DX shows up. It's like, huh?
We had the Outlaws and we had X-Pac that came to the ring. Sting took them all out. He then went to the top rope, dove down on it. Everybody's like, this old man can fly still. So, we had a pedigree, which ended up in a two count. So he's like, pedigree, couldn't put him down, so what's Hunter gonna do? I'm gonna get the sledgehammer. So he gets old Sledgy.
Sledgy!
It's ready to attack Sting. It's the NWO. Hogan, Hall, and Nash. We have DX versus the NWO.
And this is the point where everybody lost their nut.
Pretty much. It was amazing. This moment was awesome.
20 years in the making, NWO versus DX.
And it finally happened at WrestleMania. What was impressive is, Hogan took a fall, Kevin Nash took a fall, and then grabbed his quad.
Yeah, for a second I was like, oh shit, Nash is hurt, oh god.
Call a medic, Nash is hurt. No, He was alright. And the amazing bump of them all, Scott Hall, took a backdrop.
Go Scott! Well done taking the backdrop.
I was like, hey, he can take a bump. It was awesome. So, Scorpion Death Drop, 2 count, Scorpion Deathlock, Hogan steals the sledgehammer away.
Don't take Sledgy.
So the Deathlock is locked in. What's gonna happen? Sweet chin music. Out of nowhere came the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels to Sting, then told him to suck it. 1, 2, Sting kicked out. Hunter then grabs the sledgehammer. Scott Hall goes, hey yo, here's the bat. We have sledgehammer versus the bat. Sting breaks the sledgehammer in half with the bat. Stinger splash. Goes for it a second time. Hunter has the head of the hammer. Nails Sting. 1, 2, 3, your winner, Triple H.
Sting killed Sledgy.
He did. But Sledgy still came out on top.
Which was a little odd.
It was.
You know, this is one of those finishes where you expected Sting to win, and they did the unexpected and they went with Hunter, which I understand why, because you have to keep the authority strong.
Especially for later in the night.
Especially for later in the night. But still, it's like, I don't know if that was the best thing. Like, I get it was probably a one-off, but just for nostalgia's sake, I would have had Sting 1, because it was almost like a giant, giant FU, middle finger, whatever you want to term it, from Vince McMahon to Ted Turner, where it's like, finally, we finally got the last one.
Because, you know, he took him out of obscurity and brought him to WrestleMania.
Into yeah.
The main event of WrestleMania. You know, because that happened. It's the one of the greatest lines ever.
Totally, totally happened like that.
But this was an exciting match.
It was an exciting match.
Both guys shook hands afterwards.
They did. It was a nice mutual sign of respect.
It was. It really, really was. I enjoyed it. I don't have nothing bad to say about it.
My only criticism is the finish. I mean, obviously, you watch this match and you forgive a lot with Sting, but Hunter made him look like $1 million in this match.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, props, mad props to Hunter for what he did, and mad props to Sting.
Right. We then went backstage. Daniel Bryan did an interview. It was put over by Pat Patterson. Piper put him over. Steamboat put him over. Ric Flair came in. He chopped Steamboat. Went woo all over the place. Bret Hart put him over. We had a damn by Ron Simmons. This was, hey, let's put Daniel Bryan over.
I think Piper wants to adopt Bryan.
I think so.
Pretty sure of this.
And both of us sat here at this point went, we need a break.
Yeah. And just about then, the musical performance happened, so we got a break. And everybody was like, oh, thank God.
I know we both sat here and said to each other, it's like, oh, thank God for this musical break.
You get up and you run for, like, the bathroom and for
something.
The fridge and for the, you know, the pantry, for everything, because it's like, by that point, it's like you're all out of drinks, you're all out of food.
It's about 3 hours at this point, 4 hours.
It's about 3 hours, 3-4 hours with the pre-show at this point, so it's like, oh my God.
Because
I had actually just gone downstairs to get more water mm-hmm. when Hunter Sting went on, and I heard it. I had the TV loud enough that I heard it from downstairs all the way up here, and it was like, wait. That's going on now?
Right.
Oh, crap.
Can I get back up the steps? So, yeah. It was a nice break because I was totally full from dinner. So, like, I need a minute to just walk this off a minute.
Yeah. So, you had the musical performances, which Skylar Gray was very good.
Yeah.
You could actually hear her, which was nice, which that's kind of been my complaint about the musical performances in the past. Is they don't do a good job of routing them in. So you hear them live, but you don't necessarily hear them through your TV, if that makes sense. Like, you hear them in the stadium, but the speakers don't pick it up.
Better acoustics in the stadium.
Yes, thank you. He knows what I mean.
Because it's the brain. We're in sync. So then we had AJ Lee and Paige taking on the Bellas. First off, Paige had nice new hair and gear.
She did.
I like her gear.
I liked her gear. It fits her better. I like the purple streaks in the hair. Very, very cool.
Brie had new gear as well.
Brie had new gear. Nikki, I think, had new gear, or they had revamped some of her old gear.
Either way, it didn't stand out like the other.
Uh-uh. No, the only one that didn't have new gear was AJ, and well,
yeah,
we know why.
We know our, we were both mentioned, like, no wonder she didn't have new shop gear.
That makes a lot of sense.
Makes a lot more sense. I didn't invest any time into her. Okay then.
But you could kind of see the look on the Paige's face, because this was her first WrestleMania, that she's kind of like, alright, this isn't so scary.
No,
okay.
Not at all. No. Oh my god, I'm WrestleMania in the back of her mind.
It's like, holy crap. And what's cool for her is was her mom was there.
Yeah. Apparently it was Paige Appreciation Day recently too.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, they had a nice match. We had the rack attack for a two count. Nice flip off the apron onto the Bellas for Paige. The whole idea was they were keeping AJ out of the match for a while. Bellas worked over Paige, keeping AJ out of the ring. AJ finally got the hot tag, cross body. Nikki rolled through. Paige drop kicked into a two count. Black Widow, Brie breaks it up. AJ gets knocked out with the big forearm for a two count. Brie gets sent into the steps. And then the Black Widow is applied for the second time, and Nikki taps out. Your winners, AJ Lee and Paige. Good match. Solid match. They were given some time, not a lot of time, but they were given some time.
They were given more time than they would have been given in the past.
And they were in a spot where it wasn't, where they were in a cooldown spot. But at the same time, it was the beginning of the new, they were the first match after intermission. People were still settling back in, but it wasn't where it was like sandwiched between two main events.
Yeah, they were in a really good spot this year. I liked that Paige did most of the work in the match because she got a chance to shine and really get her WrestleMania moment when she threw Brie into the steps. It's like, ooh, somebody's a little vicious. But yeah, very, very solid match, a good showing for all four girls. Well done.
We then go to the United States title, Rusev versus John Cena. Go ahead.
We gotta talk about Rusev.
I'm getting into it. Russian soldiers for Lana coming to the ring?
Lana had a fur and a tiara.
She did. But
it was amazing.
But Rusev had a tank.
Rusev had a goddamn tank.
Talk about it.
And cannons. He had the 1812 Overture. Like, basically, that's what he had. I mean, he just rolled up in a tank. Like, hey, y'all, I'm here. I got a damn tank. See Lana down there? She got her tiara and fur. We're representing. Like, seriously, that's what it was.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
It was actually really impressive. My only thing is I wish they had figured out how to get the tank on the stage.
Yeah, that would have been cooler. But they couldn't do it.
Because I would have loved to have seen him roll down that ramp in the tank.
That would have been pretty cool.
That would have been cool, but it's like, no, they can't make that work. So, but yeah, great. Great entrance for Rusev and Lana. Great entrance.
Russo won his introduction first, not John Cena. By the way, John Cena's was pretty plain. A video package, but that was about it.
Yeah. Well, they let Rusev shine in this one, which is perfectly okay.
They had a solid matchup, these two. It wasn't, to me, wasn't as good as Fastlane. I thought the Fastlane match was better. But, Lana threw a shoe.
Lana did throw a shoe. Honestly, who throws a shoe?
Right? And then me and you sat here going, where's her other shoe? Where's her other shoe? Where's her other shoe?
It's in her hand!
We spent like legit like 5 minutes looking for her other shoe.
And they're like Louboutins too. She's throwing like $500 shoes to John Cena. It's like, dude, come on.
We had a flying headbutt for a two count, an accolade attempt, Cena blocked it. Springboard stunner. Can't call it a stunner because, you know, someone else's move. But the springboard flippy flip, as John Cena said on the podcast or whatever. Modified neckbreaker. Springboard modified neckbreaker. Whatever. Springboard stunner by Cena. Which was actually cool to see the first time. Cena finally eventually breaks the accolade. STF, Cena lets it go because Lana's on the apron. Rusev runs into Lana. We then have the AA. 1, 2, 3. Your new United States champion, John Cena.
Props to Lana for taking that bump in a short skirt and landing it.
Right.
Like, well done to her. But yeah, this was a solid match. These two aren't my favorite pairing, but I really, really, really liked Rusev's entrance. But this was a good match, as expected. John Cena won. He's your new U.S. champ. Rusev was less than happy. He left with a little assistance and left Lana to fend for herself.
He had no compassion.
They had no compassion for the fact that she had lost her shoes and hurt her foot.
Pretty much. So we were here, we were on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lynn Sword, L-I-N-S-W-A-R-D. Shameless. And we saw pictures of Triple H and Stephanie in the ring. They were in a video package or something at this point. I was like, why are they in the ring? So Stephanie comes out, she announces that WrestleMania has 76,976 people.
Woohoo!
And, well, WWE, the evolution of WWE, wouldn't be nothing without, well, her. She was healing it up. Triple H says it feels like everyone, like he's beaten everyone who's ever bet against us. You know, they've owned everybody. Then cue The Rock. He said, you don't own them, and you sure, damn sure don't own The Rock. Triple H versus The Rock. Triple H remembers kicking his ass a lot of the time. And, you know, why not, you know, have a WrestleMania moment right now? And The Rock questioned whether Triple H left his balls in Stamford.
Ooh.
Stephanie McMahon said there would be no Rock without the McMahons. And then, you know, she started talking about his father and, you know, his great-grandfather, his father, Peter Rocky Johnson, Peter Maivia, and, you know, Dwayne Johnson. There would be no Rock without them. And then The Rock made a joke about, made a joke about, you know, Dwayne Johnson. She then eventually slapped The Rock, told The Rock to leave, so he, you know, he's not gonna hit a woman, so he left. Walks around the ring, walks past the right, you know, walks past his mother, who we noticed was sitting in the front row.
Yep.
Huh. His mother's there. Something's up. Something's afoot. And then he walks by his good friend, Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, buddy.
Crowd starts chanting for Ronda Rousey. You should mention during this, the crowd before this, while they bring up all the McMahons and everything, there was a Shane O'Mac chant.
Shane!
Rock gets in the ring with, Ronda gets in the ring with The Rock. Rock says, I would never hit a woman, but I have a good friend who would. And Steph says, we're friends. And she calls Ronda the most dangerous woman, and she would never mess with her in a knockdown, but this is a squared circle, and then tells Ronda to get out of her ring.
That may have not been a wise choice.
Steph, love you, dear. But that's a bad move.
You're gonna die.
Yeah, you're gonna die. Cause, well, yeah.
You need to understand something, Steph. Any ring I step into is mine. If you want me to leave, how about you make me?
No, she didn't.
And this is the point where Stephanie McMahon starts thinking, oh, I think I left my oven on.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, get the hell out of my ring.
Wait for it. Best line's coming up.
Now!
Not that, the next line.
Excuse The Rock for 1 second. I just have to tell you what that look means. That look, Steph, means that if you keep running your mouth, she's going to reach down your throat and pull your insides out and play jump rope with your fallopian tubes.
Yep. Generally, yeah. Yeah.
Best line ever.
That's called you run, because she's about to kill you.
And while The Rock's, you know, was done talking, him and Triple H slugging out, Ronda hip tosses Triple H, which means Ronda's left in the ring alone with Stephanie McMahon, and well, she locked her arm up pretty good.
She did. She really did.
And it was like, good thing Stephanie McMahon was wearing pants.
Yes.
Dark pants.
Yes. Cause that would have gotten awkward really quick.
Right. I really enjoyed this segment. Lindsay will back me up on this one because she heard my reaction to this one. This was a great segment.
This was a really great segment, although at this point I was like, just get to Brain Taker. Just get it over with. Get to Brain Taker. Because, like, this segment, for how great it was an obvious filler because they were trying to get it as dark as they possibly could for Brain Taker. So they're stalling as long as they can.
And this segment actually went a little bit longer than it should have. To the benefit for Brain Taker.
to the benefit of Brain Taker. But yeah, it was like, it was a really good segment. It was really entertaining. And everybody's like, Rockin' Rhonda, Hunter and Steph, book it. I don't care when, book it.
And here's the thing, and this is speculation. They don't want to do the mixed tag. They want to do it straight up. Steph versus Rhonda.
Dude, Steph's gonna die if she faces Rhonda, okay? Like, this is a woman who, her matches average less than a minute. She almost never goes to a second round. And you wanna get in the ring with that? She's gonna kill you!
Which is why it's best for business to probably do a mixed tag.
Yeah.
But the one rumored idea is to do them straight up. I assume it's better to do a mixed tag. Because you can actually have a long, legitimate match at that point.
If Steph were to train, it would be interesting, but yeah, I don't see that working out well, one-on-one competition.
No, I don't. Speaking of Bray Wyatt,
here we go.
Bray Wyatt versus The Undertaker, and let's talk about the entrance first. Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt had zombie scarecrows. And this was another entrance where you're watching it and it's really cool and it's really creepy because Bray's animating these scarecrows and you're sitting there and you're watching it and you're going, God damn, I wish it was dark.
Right.
It would have been so, so much creepier if he had come out in the darkness like he usually does. He just holds up the lantern and these scarecrows start to appear one by one. And also, I wanted to see the 80,000 or the 76,000 fireflies. Cause they were there.
You just couldn't see them.
You just couldn't see them. But yeah, the Bray's entrance was great. It was well done, well executed. God, I wish it had been in the dark. Same thing goes for Taker's. God, I wish it had been in the dark. Because they lose something just a little bit when it's in the daylight. You know?
I'm in total agreement with you.
It's like there's just some things that should not be seen in daylight. That's one of them. Because it's like Bray's walking out with the lantern all lit up and stuff, and it's broad daylight. It's like, I get that's your thing, but it looks a little stupid.
He had a fancy new coat.
He did have a fancy new coat.
And new pants.
Oh my god, the pants! He needs to wear those pants again because those are awesome. He looks so fucking boss in those. Sorry.
Don't apologize.
This year's gear was better than last year's because you can tell that he's made money in the past year because he's been getting new gear.
He was not wearing basically pajama pants this year.
No, he was not wearing those god-awful red pants like he did last year. He actually spent some money, got some really nice pinstripe, sort of tan and brown pants that were all detailed out and all tricked out, looked really good on him. He got this really neat-looking jacket that had fan art on it, which is like, I hate you.
On the other hand, I thought, oh my god, it's so cool.
Oh, that's gotta be cool as hell. You know, but... yeah, it was a really, really nice look for him. And Bray has a new shirt.
Available now on www.shop.com.
Which, I like the Find Me, I'm just not sure about the sheep.
I would agree with her on that one. Then the moment, a year in the making, we finally heard the gong, and through the smoke, walked the Undertaker.
In leather pants.
Yeah, he was wearing leather pants and a simple leather jacket.
Very, very basic. He had the hat. Very simple, basic, classic Taker. What's interesting is you heard the pop for Taker, but it wasn't as loud as it has been in the past. And maybe that's just because of the size of the stadium.
Partly.
But you heard the pop for Taker, and it wasn't as loud as it has been. But he slowly made his way to the ring, and that's the thing about this match, is they both took their sweet ass time to get to the ring.
Right.
Like, you wanted to tell Bray, it's like, dude, your song's gonna end in like another 30 seconds. You may want to blow out the light.
Right.
Or it's gonna end on its own. That might be a problem. But yeah, so Taker Taker gets to the ring. He takes off his hat, and lo and behold, the man has hair on his head. No more faux hawk. Thank Jesus. And he had a goatee. No Furby. No Furby. No faux hawk. No super shredder. None of that crap. Taker. Just basic Taker. And he looks so, so good. It's like, it only took him 5 years to figure this out.
Somebody worked out.
Somebody did work out, because he was thin, he was trim, he had definition in his arms.
He actually had shoulders and muscles.
He looked so good. And he looked so rested and healthy. Like, that's the thing about last year, was he looked really kind of haggard, tired, old. They had to use a lot of makeup on him. This year, I don't think they had to do as much to him.
One, because it was light out. You don't need as much light and makeup in the light.
Yeah, but it's, you can tell he had been taking much better care of himself.
And from where he was in 8 months prior.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know what just did it for me? The goatee. What? The goatee.
Yeah.
It fills out his face. It makes him look healthy. It gives him a, it defines his face.
It defines his face. Without it, he actually looks older. And I think that was the problem with the Furby, was it just, it made him look.
It, like, older. it showed the lines in his face, like.
Yeah, it hides the lines around his mouth better. So it makes him look younger. And also I think the thing with the faux hawk was it was just aging him. So the fact that he just had a head full of hair.
Which was amazing that he actually had hair this time around.
Oh my god, I was glowing for like a week after the fact that Taker had hair. I actually hit, when I watched the match again, I was so afraid. I had dreamed it and he didn't have it. So when the hat came off, I'm like, oh my god, he still has hair. Oh, thank god.
And then
I was so happy.
Yeah, she was. Then we get into the match.
Well, before we get into the match, because obviously I want to talk about this one. WrestleMania don't care. This one, do care. Yeah.
Cause this is kidding. This is the match we were dying to see.
This is the match I've been dying to see. This is the feud I've been dying to see. And we'll get into all of it after we talk about the match. But I actually want to talk about, before we get into the match, Bray Wyatt's reaction to Taker.
Alright, go for it.
Like, he's just standing there and you actually can almost see the point where the nerves sort of set in for him and it gets real. For him. Like, you actually see that moment happen. Where he kinda gets this real slight, oh, holy crap, what have I done look. Or just the, oh, holy crap look.
It's like, I just woke the dead man up. I just rose, made him rise from the dead. He's here. He's here in physical person, in live and living color. He exists. He's not a figment of my imagination. I've not just been talking to myself for 8 weeks. He's actually here in front of me. Holy crap.
You know, somewhere, you know, 5-year-old Bray Wyatt is going, oh my god, it's Taker, Taker, Taker. Oh my god, it's Taker. Holy crap, it's Taker. Oh my god, it's Taker. Somewhere in that man's mind, that's what he was doing. I swear to god, because it's this look of like fear and reverence. Well, fear's the wrong word, but I guess nerves and reverence and excitement and all these different emotions going through him at once. Especially as Taker's getting in the ring and they're both standing there staring at each other.
Yeah. Yeah. There was that moment like, holy crap, this is actually happening. Oh my god, this is happening. Holy crap.
And it's like everything that he had done to get to this point suddenly became validated. Like, you could tell that, like, all the crap he had been through, you know, with Husky Harris and the Nexus and getting sent back down and having to fight his way back up, like, all of it became worth it and validated in this moment. Because I don't think what people, if you didn't watch the interviews with him or you didn't listen to anything with him, this is his dream match. This is the one match. This is what he's termed his holy grail. So we actually got to see him achieve a dream that he's had since he was like 5.
Right. It wasn't for him. It's never been. It's not about championships. It's about, it was this. This was the one he wanted. This was his moment. This was his dream since he was 7 years old. And he told everybody about it. And he finally got to accomplish that at WrestleMania.
And that's what was so, so cool about this moment. And there's this real, I actually had to go back and watch it again to see it. But when they're standing there staring at each other, there's this little sign of respect from Bray where he nods at Taker.
He gives him his nod. Now, we should mention the one thing that this has been his dream forever, and we should mention the one thing that happened before his dream started.
He sprained his ankle that day. Like, now, hours before WrestleMania, Bray Wyatt hurt his ankle, and you know he's sitting there going, crap.
He was in a boot the entire day.
Yeah, and he's going, I don't care if you have to cut it off, I'm going out there.
We're gonna do it. Tape it up. Oh, let's go.
But that had to be.
It's like, he stayed out of the ring mostly on Raws and SmackDowns, except for the final SmackDown, and only did house shows. He wasn't in the ring much. He was being protective. He was being ready for The Undertaker. Then it happens, it's the day off, it's like, crap.
Yeah, you knew he was going, crap.
He's like, son of a bitch.
And speaking of the sprained ankle, now we're going to get into the match.
Bray was shaking.
He was trembling.
And before the even bell starts, he runs in and Taker, big boom.
Yeah.
And then Taker goes after Bray Wyatt. We had old school. We had the leg drop on the apron. The Undertaker hit Snake Eyes, but went for the boot, but Bray stopped it. Beats up Taker for a while. Bray does the running splash into Taker's head on the ring post, which is pretty impressive. And I was like, ow, smashy, smashy, more like, oh my god, Bray just hurt himself.
Yeah.
Because it was Bray's body that took most of the force. It was like, holy crap, that had to hurt. There was a Hell's Gate attempt. Bray broke it up. And then what was a really cool moment, Bray Wyatt spikes The Undertaker into the mat.
Oh, that was impressive as hell.
It really was. He had the running senton right after for a 2 count. And it was right when he came back in after smashing Taker's head, where it was like, you kind of sort of saw the ankle kind of give out on him. He tried to get up and was like, no, my ankle wouldn't let me get up for a second. He had to compose himself.
Yeah. It was giving him trouble through the whole match, and you could see it through the whole match, but he was pushing through it.
He really was, and it was like, that was the only real spot where it's like, he couldn't get up for a second. But he sold it. They beat on each other. Bray goes for Sister Abigail. Mock The Undertaker. You don't mock the dead man.
Bray, honey, no. Just no. He will kill you for that.
It led to a chokeslam. Tombstone. 1, 2, 3. No. Kick out by Bray Wyatt. Goes for a tombstone again. Sister Abigail for a 2 count. And the moment we talked about for 6 months on this show. Spider walk.
Yes.
Sit up.
Yes.
Bray's like,
And then Bray was like, oh crap. I'm so sorry, sir. I'm gonna back up now. So sorry.
I'll buy you a drink after the show.
Nope.
Thankfully, though, Bray Wyatt still took advantage at this point. Sister Abigail's kiss. Sister Abigail, no. Taker escapes. Tombstone. Uno, dos, tres. Your winner, The Undertaker. Alright, for Lindsay goes off on this match. First comment, cool to see Taker. Dude, do some cardio. That being said, to me, there was a little bit of Undertaker magic lost just because of the loss. He's looking older. We'll dive deeper into this in a second. But it was cool to see the Undertaker back. That said, Lindsay's going to comment now.
I actually had to go back and watch this match again because
She was looking with her one eye closed. And
yeah, I was looking with one eye closed, and I was feeling with my heart, because this was, again, something I really wanted to see. I was super excited for this match. I had a lot of expectations for this feud, and I was trying to reserve judgment for the follow-up, and pretty much the follow-up is going to be there isn't going to be one. And I have to say that overall, and none of this really reflects on Bray, it's more on the company's choice to hold Taker off till Mania, is the whole thing was a little disappointing. You had Bray do some amazing, amazing work in this feud, if you want to call it that, but the thing that you take away from this, especially since Bray lost, is that he had a feud with himself, and he lost. Which is not what you want for someone that you're trying to build. Like, I understand that you gave Taker his win back after he lost last year, but it doesn't really do Taker any good to beat Bray Wyatt. Because he's going to leave again, and we're not going to see him again for another year. And the thing
of it is, you were hoping, okay, DM Taker wins. Cool. Fine. Follow it up on Monday night. Have Bray Wyatt get his revenge on The Undertaker the next night. That would have been awesome. Have Bray lay out The Undertaker, send him packing. Instead, none of that happened. The Undertaker just disappeared back to Texas. Bray Wyatt wasn't even on the show because, well, he got hurt. And it just sort of was like, man worked, did some of his best work for 7 weeks, wrote about it on WildTalkRadio.com, spoke about it on the show repeatedly. Bray Wyatt was doing amazing work. And it was like, the match happened, and that was it. No reaction, no nothing, no fallout, just, it was its own little program, in its own little world, for its own little match.
Now, to their credit, I think had Bray not gotten hurt, we would have seen something that Monday after Raw.
Maybe.
But, just to me, it felt like Taker should have been more involved in this feud from the get-go. Like, I understand that you don't want him to show up on TV, and that's fine, but you had Bray stabbing in the dark for the first couple weeks, and then you had Taker respond, and then you really had nothing after that. Like, there were no more magics, and that's the thing with Taker, is, like, he doesn't have to be there to make his presence felt. And they kept saying that Taker is the master of the mind games, right?
Yeah.
You've got Bray challenging him. You could have had Taker screw with Bray in a lot of different ways and really kind of build Bray and throw him off his game. You could have done so much with this feud that they opted not to do. I mean, what we got was good, and I'm not saying it wasn't, but it's like you could have done more to really build this match and build to Taker, because the thing is like there was such a disconnect with Taker. More than there normally is, because we really only heard from him once. And that was it. And then he showed up, and it's like he walks out, and it's like, yay, it's Taker, because the huge speculation was, what is he going to look like? What does The Undertaker look like now that he's lost? And the answer is, he looks pretty much the same, he just moves a little slower.
He has a knee brace.
He has a knee brace, and he doesn't do as much. I mean, going back and watching this a second time, you really see how slow Taker has gotten.
Right. We watched WrestleMania 20. We watched a couple other Taker matches. Actually, I watched more than she did, but together we watched a bunch of matches just of Taker. And we watched the end of the era match a few times. And it's like, look how fast he is. Especially when he WrestleMania 20 against Kane. Look how fast he was. Look how agile he was. He moved around the ring pretty well. And then it's just sort of like, he moved, but the fire wasn't there. The speed wasn't there. He's just a couple steps slower now. And, well, he's 50. It's to be expected. But some of the mystique about The Undertaker was he was a quick, agile man.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not blaming Taker. Because honestly, you go back and you watch that match, and Taker gave Bray everything he could give him. Taker was trying so hard to put on a good match.
He tried to keep up with Bray Wyatt, and his body just is...
And Bray sold for him. I mean, those two were working so hard with each other. I mean, they really, really did, and I can't help but appreciate that, because it's like, essentially Bray Wyatt had to carry this match for Taker. And you can see that. That Bray's doing that. Bray's doing a lot of the moves. He's taking a lot of the bumps. I was very impressed that Taker took as many bumps as he did. It's probably more than he's taken in a long while.
Yeah.
He was up on his feet most of the time, which was good.
But it just, yeah. It was missing something.
It was missing something, and it's kind of like, and this was my fear with this, was that he's going to come back, and he's not going to be the same. And he wasn't. And you, once you expose him like you did last year, it's really difficult to see him as anything but what he was, which was a crippled, beaten old man. And that's essentially, you know, when you look at him, that's all you see. It's like, yeah, it's The Undertaker, but, you know, it's like, yay, Taker. You know, you cheer for him because you love him, but at the same time, it's like, you know, the magic is somewhat gone.
I would agree with that.
And I think what's most disappointing about this is that, you know, what happened was Bray got sacrificed for whoever Taker faces at 32.
And for the love of God, please don't be Sting.
Yeah, if they had Bray Wyatt lose to do Taker versus Sting, I will throw things.
She's gonna get in her car, drive up to Stamford, and kick some ass.
Well, I don't know if I'm gonna go that far, but it's, to me, it doesn't make sense for one match deal to have Taker go over. He's going to disappear for a year, and he's going to come back and face Sting, and probably either lose to Sting, because Taker will probably want to go out on his back, or lose to whomever he's going to face. It doesn't make sense to give Taker a win here, because it's really pretty much meaningless for Taker at this point. The loss, the one loss that everybody cares about has already happened. But I see what they're doing with it is they're only going to have two losses.
Maybe.
And that may not even be the case. They may have Taker win his last match, in which case he will be 24-1.
23-1? This was 22.
Okay, this was 22, sorry. 22-1, so he'll be 23-1. And I just, if it's done for Sting, I'm not going to be okay with this. If it's anybody else on the roster, I'll have to think about it. Because again, I don't feel that having Bray lose and then doing nothing afterwards, not even have Bray Wyatt mention it Monday or have any type of reaction to it, is the correct course.
Because this is the second year in a row where it's like, Taker didn't respond to anything that happened. Nothing, does anything matter to him?
Well, it's...
No, you gotta question it. Does anything matter to The Undertaker?
It does matter, because they kept saying, you know, well, when he's done, he wants to be carted out. You know, it's like, well, that's great. But, you know, it's like, I think everybody was more curious about what is Taker's reaction to losing to the streak. Because that's what everybody wants to know. And people care more about that than necessarily what he looks like. And I just feel like you could have woven that in more. But, yeah, this was just, I mean, the match itself for what they did was good.
Match was acceptable, but it was just sort of...
But again, it's like Sting. There's a lot you have to forgive with Taker, and it's almost to the point where, bless his heart, you just kind of can't forgive it anymore. Because you look at him and you watch him and you're like, oh honey, no, just no, stop, please.
Pretty much.
And I adore the man. But it's just like, even for me, it's like, it's just hard to watch at this point, because you almost look at him and you go, it's like you watch him from even 5 years ago. It's like, oh my God, the deterioration is just, holy crap.
Yeah. It's just sort of,
But
it's getting hard to watch Taker.
Yeah, it is getting really hard to watch Taker. But bravo to both men for their efforts. Bravo for what they did. Well done. And now we talk about the main event.
Oh, this main event. WWE Championship. Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns. All right.
Well, before you go into it, I just gotta know, did you get your prison beating? Did you get what you wanted? Because he wanted a prison beating.
Hey, Paul Heyman said we were going to get a prison beating. And he delivered on the thing and what happened to John Cena. So it was... Alright, this was pretty epic. Fight starts right away. F5 right away. Simple and to the point. It's like, holy crap, it actually happened. We hit Brock out. It busted open early. Took some hard shots from Roman Reigns. Roman threw shots at Brock, and Brock was like, no, not gonna happen. Not going to happen at all. Hits a German suplex city. Hits a German suplex, and then says, suplex city, bitch. Roman hangs over the ropes, just gets knees repeatedly to Roman Reigns. Roman caught one and went back at Brock Lesnar. Brock came back with a big old clothesline, and then shit got real. And I'm talking about real, real. As he pulled off the gloves after the F5 for a two count. He pulled off the gloves and then was in one of the best moments of the match. He starts bitch slapping Roman Reigns.
Oh my god, that was fantastic.
That was amazing. Just slapped the ever-living crap out of him. We were up like 10 suplexes. Got like a F5, Roman kicked down. And then, Roman started making his comeback. He got sent in the post, Brock got busted open, hard way, not blading. Even though people claim he got bladed. I don't think he bladed.
No, I don't think he bladed. He's hit that, every time he smacks his head against the ring post, he bleeds, so.
Yeah, it's a soft spot.
Yeah.
Superman punch, second one, Brock is still standing. Roman missed the third. Eventually, hits it. Spear. Two count. F5. All hell's breaking loose at this point. Both men are down.
He and I are sitting here going, oh god, I see how this is ending. Oh god.
It was like, oh my god, we know it's coming. Come on, he's gonna hit the spear again. He's gonna beat him. Oh my god, this is gonna be it. Then Seth Rollins showed up.
Before you continue, called it! How many months ago? How many months ago did I call the cash in?
Technically you called it. It didn't happen after the match.
No, but I called the cash in.
You did call the cash in. By the way, this is very impressive. Lance Storm got this exactly right. Just about. He called it with Seth Rollins cashing in during the match. The only part he got wrong was who got pinned. But he actually called it happening during the match and called it making a triple threat.
Mole.
Oh, it's Lance Storm. Not me. He's
Lance Storm is the mole.
We figured it out.
We finally figured it out.
But that was an impressive prediction. Anyway, Seth Rollins comes in and he's cashing in. It's a triple threat match for the WWE Championship. Curb stomp to Brock. Here comes another. Roman gets taken out. Here comes another. No. F5. No. Spear. Curb stop to Roman. 1, 2, 3. Your winner and new WWE champion. No longer Mr. Money in the Bank, but former guest of the rack. Seth Rollins.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you beat Brock Lesnar without beating Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Which... Again, we said it when Brock won the title. The only way you're going to get that off of him is in a triple threat. That's the only way it should come off of him. Brock should be your unbeatable champion. So you're going to have to outsmart him to get that title away.
Especially since he resigned.
Yes.
If he didn't resign, I could see him taking the fall and going out.
Oh, I could see him taking the fall and going out for Roman, but it's like they were in a really tough pickle because it was like, yay, Brock resigned, but that means we can't put the title on Roman, at least logically, because Brock's going to potentially want to keep it, even though Brock decided to go back on vacation. The fans don't want Roman. You have Seth Rollins with his money in the bank, and if we keep it on Lesnar, well, Seth's not going to be able to cash in because the next time we see Lesnar will probably be SummerSlam. By then, the money in the bank will be expired, so it's like, what do you do? I mean, they actually came up with a really clever solution to it, and I have to applaud them for it.
I do as well. This was a really good main event. This entire show was really, really good.
I have to applaud Roman for taking the ass-kicking that he took, because there were some stiff, stiff shots in that match. And Roman had a really, really good showing, and you can see the potential that's there. He just needs a little bit more work. But yeah, I would agree, the main event was very good. Overall, the show was very good. Very happy. There's only two matches that you kind of go, what? But all the rest of it was really, really well done.
Alright, so, yeah, this was, overall, this was a really impressive show. Enjoyable from top to bottom.
Yeah. There were only a couple really dull spots, but I think other than that, very well done on their part.
There were dull spots, but they weren't, like, bad spots.
No.
There wasn't a bad match on the show. And it just sort of worked.
And I mentioned this to you when we were watching it. I thought that moving the Battle Royal to the pre-show was a good idea because that allowed them to time the show out better and space the matches out better, and so people got more time on the main show.
And it allowed them to add the extra segment, and it just sort of, it flowed better. Because you don't need, like again, you don't need 9 matches on the show.
No.
7 matches in 4 hours? It's pretty good, especially with the network. You can do a lot more things now, because you can extend shows earlier.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if WrestleMania ends up being 5 hours at some point.
Even though technically it was this year.
Yeah.
By the way, screw you, Magic 8-Ball. We kicked your ass.
Haha!
We went 5-4, you went 4-5. Bam. Eat it, Magic 8-Ball. Bam. Really wasn't much of an ass kicking, but hey, we beat the Magic 8-Ball.
We beat the Magic 8-Ball.
It's all that matters.
That is all that matters, but I say we're done.
Yeah, yeah. If there's long WrestleMania review, we're done. Which means it's time to plug.
It is time to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight, this is CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR, facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. Use the hashtag Blame Rob. And go to CBRadioLive.com. Sunday night, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and Omega, covering the week in pro wrestling. And who are your top 10 wrestlers of today? Keyword, today. They're going to be debating it on Sunday night. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR Sunday Night, facebook.com/WrestleTalkRadio. Monday night is the Raw Post Show at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that happens on Raw in the UK. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of The Rack, live at 10 p.m. Eastern. You can follow the show on Twitter at WTRTheRack and facebook.com/WTRRack. You can follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can check us out on TuneIn Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, search Rack Radio Show, or Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitter. We'd like to send a very, very fine thank you to our wonderful sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, The Haven for TNA fans, and Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs.
Hold on. By the way, hope you all enjoyed this marathon show.
Right. If you stuck with us till the end, thank you so so much. Don't forget to check out former guest of the rack, Rob Schomburger's page on shop.com. He has a brand new book that just came out featuring all of his artwork for the WrestleMania series. So if you're into that kind of thing, definitely pick it up and check it out. Support him because he is amazing. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. We promise not to go this long next week. We swear. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will hopefully see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.